Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Have you not seen that?
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That? A fan critical podcast series, if you will.
Creation.
Baby. Birthed of this group. So, for any first time listeners.
Da-da.
Yeah, well, don't say that. So, for any first time listeners, this pod is essentially a look into our wardrobe. Of shame, or as my notes say, wardobe. Yeah, so I've rushed them. Yeah.
You've done a Len there.
Done a Ben. Yeah. Each of us hide dark secrets. We all have films that we should have seen, but we haven't. And today's another episode, and a special episode, because it welcomes back the entire gang. So,
woo! Yeah, new year.
New year, new pod.
New team.
Same team,
but all together.
Same team, more of.
In a way.
Yeah, so all of them.
In a way.
Yeah, so welcome back, everyone. I'll go through everyone, and yeah, maybe you can give me your one hope for this year, actually, as a bonus out of nowhere, yeah? So...
Oh, yeah.
We'll leave Lucy till last, because it is your pod. We're going to go with Gaz first. So, any great hopes for this year, Gaz?
My hope for this year is that it cools down. I'm sitting here in like 38 degree heat and I'm struggling to cope, to be honest, mate. English blood is not meant for this and it's boiling away.
How the fuck do you think I'm feeling? I'm ginger in this heat. You like me?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm struggling, mate.
Yeah.
No, I feel terrible.
I'm wearing a kilt. I've got my kilt on. I've got a bit of a breeze going on down there.
Little bit of a spoiler there, Len, for potentially the film that we're covering today.
Yeah.
Keep it close to your chest.
Brave.
Close to your heart. Yeah. your brave heart. Yeah. I'll go next, actually. I think I'm going to actually invest in watching one of these Marvel TV series. So I haven't watched any of them at all. You know, Daredevil and all that nonsense. I haven't seen any of them. But this one with Vision and Wanda, or WandaVision, as it's so named, I think I'll give that a go. Hopefully,
sounds like a cheap 80s gaming console, doesn't it? WandaVision.
I think that's
it sounds like something you'd buy, mate, considering some 100%
I'd be buying the WandaVision. Yeah.
Budget
Big
man.
Big fan.
Yeah.
That's not one of the Marvel heroes.
Well, maybe in your household. Emma, any great hopes for this year?
Hello. I have a great hope that by the end of 2021, I can go and watch a new film in a cinema.
Yes,
again. Ooh, it's been a really long time.
That is nice.
And I want to pay over the odds for a ticket to go and watch a film in a cinema with a load of other people, not next to me, but you know, in the same room.
Masked up.
That's my big hope.
With masks on. And then they try and eat the popcorn and it just sort of hits the mask, falls off.
Well, I mean, imagine you in there, Len, with your popcorn and your M&Ms and Skittles all mixed up into one.
We got to go to the cinema recently,
Len and I.
We went to see Tenet and I did do my M&Ms and popcorn trick, and Gaz just saw me literally shoveling M&Ms and popcorn into my mouth.
It goes everywhere.
Did you throw it all over the floor like you always do?
bought two big packets of crispy M&Ms. Listen.
Well, there's a reason
this
for this.
Because
Gaz
though.
goes, because yeah, because Gaz goes, oh, can I have some of your M&Ms?
That's not true.
Definitely not.
Get your own bag.
Yeah, okay.
Unbelievable accusation.
Supposed to be a hopeful start. But anyway, Lucy, how about you?
I hope that, as we were cruelly robbed of it last year, we get season 3 of Succession. I think only Len has seen this.
Oh, yeah.
So me and Len are the only ones who know about it in the world. Yeah. And it was meant to come out this last year, I think, but they're filming it. So
good.
It's so good. And I have one hope, John, that I think the whole group will love.
Yeah, listen, go on,
I hope...
He's going to talk about M&M's again.
No. I hope that George R. R. Martin releases Winds of Winter this year. That is my hope.
I don't want it anymore.
It's my hope every year.
Yeah. I've decided I don't want it anymore. I'm not interested. He's a lazy, useless prick.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And if you're listening, George,
he's not.
I mean, you are. It's been 10 years.
He's definitely not now.
He's too busy writing. He's too busy writing his NFL documentary scripts.
Anything but Game of Thrones.
No, he's in the kitchen mixing M&M's with like roast beef or something. Like, just that sounds good. Anyway, so we should probably crack on with this podcast.
Yes, let's
do that. So Lucy, it is your turn this time.
Tis.
The last time you were on, we were talking about the 80s classic, which is Aliens. Good pod.
No.
Good film.
It wasn't the last time.
Was the last time that we were on together?
Oh, what, me and you?
Exactly.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Yes,
I thought you meant the people, I thought you meant.
No.
Okay, yes, Aliens. Sorry.
Anyway. But anyway.
That was ages ago.
Yeah, it was ages ago, yeah.
God, yeah.
And it was the last time that I hosted one of these, I think, because some of the questions in my notes for Braveheart, there you go, it's a little spoiler warning into what the film is. I sort of got the questions mixed up, and I thought I'd done 6 questions, and then one of them was about Sigourney Weaver. I was like, what's going on here? This is going to be a difficult question to answer. But anyway, so today's film is Braveheart.
She plays Lucy... the Irish fella, doesn't she?
Lucy, how the fuck have you not seen this film up until this point?
Well, I guess I always just thought it was a bit of a joke film and a bit like panned and a bit cheesy and just... It was like Mel Gibson doing a Scottish accent with a hair metal wig. And that, you know, that is still the case now that I've seen it. But yeah, I just thought it was meant to be shit and a bit of a joke. So even though I love a historical epic, it's quite the kind
five
of film
Oscars
that I
disagrees
have
with you.
So. Yeah, I don't really listen to the Oscars, so... Don't think they're a good show of quality always. So,
yeah,
saying it won an Oscar doesn't really mean anything to me.
No,
but yeah, I think I thought it was just a bit of a joke. Probably The Simpsons tainted my mind against it in some way. You know, probably parodied it.
Yeah,
I just thought it was a bit of a shit film and a bit stupid.
All right, well, you know, we'll get your thoughts on it shortly. You are wrong. Obviously, it is a brilliant, brilliant film. But, Len, why don't you lead us off? So give me your Braveheart experience. Not in life. I'm not suggesting that at any point you've shown yourself to have any sort of backbone. But certainly watching this film. So go for it.
Yeah. Yes, my liege. Okay, so let me think. Braveheart. I haven't seen Braveheart. I said this to Gaz. I actually sat down and watched it this afternoon. I was quite hungover today. And when I turned it on, I was like, oh my God, this is 3 hours. I was like, this is going to be tough. But I bloody loved the film. I hadn't seen it. And I said this to Gaz earlier. I hadn't seen it this is no exaggeration. I've probably seen it twice before this, and probably the last time I saw it was over 15 years ago. So my memory of some parts of this film just completely were not there. Like, starting with him as a kid, I was like, I just do not remember any of this.
I think the
film is pretty poor. Like, I think the stuff of him as a kid is very basic, bitch. Like, very shot terribly. I don't like the dream sequences. I think, you know, it's a bit weird. But when the film picks up into the actual meat and bones of the film about an hour in, the next 2 hours are unbelievable. If you think about some of the things that we've been raving about, even a film that we've covered... on this series, which was Gladiator, obviously takes massive influence from this film.
Oh, yeah.
And without this film, you wouldn't have a Gladiator, which I think is a better film overall.
Gladiators. I think
it's a bit shorter.
Jet.
It's a bit shorter. Think about the Game of Thrones battle sequences and the things that we've seen, you know, like Battle of the Bastards, the visceral nature of that fight and some other battles in Game of Thrones. You know, this film was a great stepping stone for some of the choreography and some of the way that those battles were shot. And, you know, watching the first hour or so, I was like, oh, it's not the gore's not very good, is it? And then when it got into the actual war bits, I was like, fuck me, yeah, this is some good war stuff.
Who is the gore in this historical epic?
Yeah. So I loved it, actually, because I thought it was going to be a slog. Three hours, Sunday afternoon. I have no pants on. Hungover. And I'm going to give it what it deserves, because actually I did well up at the end, which is mental, because I'm English. The film slags off the English the whole time. We were terrible, so it's fine. I'm going to give it 5 bloobs, you know?
Good, very good.
Because it deserves it.
Well done.
And the bloob, for anyone who needs to know what that is, we rate everything in blueberries, 1 to 5, can be no halves, harsh but fair scale, 5 being the best, Len, 0 being the worst.
It's 0 to 5, not 1 to 5.
Yeah,
how
sorry,
long have you been
sorry,
doing
yeah.
this podcast, mate?
You fucking hack.
I know.
Honestly.
I'm the founder, co-creator, creative director, so yeah, okay, fine.
Hang him.
Not of the blueberry system, you know?
Yeah,
no, true. Right. True, I did not anyway. Found that.
All right, Emma.
Anyway, that's my synopsis.
So seeing as you're now the new expert of bloobs, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Braveheart thoughts?
So, I mean, Braveheart's just a classic, isn't it? I couldn't tell you the first time I watched it, but I've watched it dozens of times. I love it. It's brilliant. I'm well in for a historical epic.
Wow.
And it's got everything you want, innit? It's got gore. There's, you know, a bit of romance. Some dodgy hair. Got to love a bit of dodgy hair. I have to agree with Len here that I had completely forgotten when I rewatched this yesterday about the bit with him as a kid. And I text John and I was like, what is this shit with him as a kid with his fucking rat tail mullet? Like, this is awful. Awful. But once you hit that kind of like 45-minute mark, it just ramps up and up and up, and it's excellent. So yeah. I've been watching The Last Kingdom recently, which I'm really enjoying, and I've forgotten how much I just love the escapism of like historical epic fighting. And it's brilliant. And like, I know that loads of it's been slagged off, like, oh, William Wallace didn't do this, he didn't do that. But it's a film, guys. You need to just chill out. It's just a movie. And it's brilliant.
He didn't
the fight
do
scenes
that.
Are fantastic. Yeah. He did do that. Yeah. Did he even exist? No one really knows. But it's I really, really enjoyed rewatching it. And I think it's a classic for a reason, because it's 2 hours of excellent cinema. You can forgive the first bit. I watched it with an intermission, and that was actually quite enjoyable. And I think, although I've just raved about it, for me, it's a it's a 4 bloob film. Like, imagine, it's fantastic, but little rat tail William Wallace, like baby Wallace, not having that. It's a 4 bloob film. It's excellent. It's just not quite. I think on a rewatch, it's not quite as gripping, I think, as it used to be for me.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. I mean, we're getting some serious spoiler warnings here. Obviously, as listeners, you won't be able to tell, but we are all on a video conference, and Lucy's disgust every time someone suggests
disgust.
That this is a good film is hilarious. So I will definitely go before Lucy and really
you know what? My,
ramp
my
up how great this film is. But
Len can say that the first hour is shit and it's rubbish and blah, 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 and then still give it 5. That's
no,
what
he
like,
didn't say that.
What?
No, he didn't say that. No, but you know what he's like anyway. Oh, Baby Yoda's made
what
an appearance.
What are you doing, Len?
So,
again,
sorry, I got a new Baby Yoda toy for Christmas, and it's just slowly entering frame using his force powers.
Not very good for listeners.
No, not helpful. His name's not Baby Yoda anyway, so don't call him that anymore.
He is in my eyes.
Spoiler warning.
He is in my eyes.
Same Stephen.
Yeah.
Anyway, right, so we've got a 5 bloob.
Stephen Yoda.
Yeah. We've got a 5 bloob and a 4 bloob. How many bloobs does Gaz give it?
Yiddy.
Oh, I forgot you were Scottish.
It's just, this is just a far too long shit version of Robin Hood, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Wait. Do you mean one of my favourite films? Can I stop you there? Do you mean Robin Hood and the Prince of Thieves?
No, it's not Robin Hood and the Prince of Thieves. It's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Yeah, get it right.
I mean the Kevin Costner version.
Mm. Yeah, that one.
Prince of Thieves.
Yeah.
Prince of Thieves.
No, it's a very good film. Obviously, I'm similar to Len in that I actually hadn't seen it in years. Like, I worked out, I think the last time I saw it, I was 12 years old. It was at a 12th birthday party, which is a bizarre choice. Like, who's
12-year-old?
I don't think that's appropriate.
12-year-old is watching Braveheart for 3 hours.
Who was parenting these children?
No, it was my mate, Lachlan McNeil.
Oh,
I.
What's the story of our people?
He's Portuguese.
Oh, is that a snort? Very good. So I don't think I've seen it since I was very young. So it was good to watch it again. That first hour, I've got to tell you though. As I've already mentioned, today is a very hot day here. Sitting there in this heat, watching that first hour of Braveheart, that it could not be a worse setting for it. Like, it's not what it's made for. It's meant for cold winter nights, you know, in the Scottish hill.
Yeah.
Like, so that was a struggle, but once it got going, it is pretty great. That second couple of hours is excellent. I was a little bit disappointed in sort of like the lack of.
I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I got that.
I was a little bit disappointed.
Well, no, it's interesting. I was going to say about the lack of any additional depth to certain characters, like peripheral characters. Like, is it Stephen, the Irish guy, Hamish. Hamish as well.
Like, Hamish has got depth.
They're there at the start, and you know, you sort of, you're like, oh, look at this crazy Irish guy. Never shows any sign of craziness again after that point. Like,
I don't know.
He's just religious, I think, is the thing. He talks to God, and that makes him crazy.
What, Gaz? He is, yeah, which is why he doesn't see the craziness. Yeah. He's not crazy, he's just talking to God, isn't he?
He's devout.
I don't know, I'll ask him, Father. Yeah, that's mental, that. Honestly, that'd freak you out.
Yeah, exactly. It's not ideal. It's not on. But then that doesn't really get explored further later on. And I would like that. Like, I'd like there to be a bit more of a gang thing there, where you get to know some of your characters and you can have your favourite character, your favourite member of the William
Gangs
Wallace
of Glasgow
clan. And it's not really like that. But, you know, for what it is, it's an incredibly important film. I don't think I can give it 5 blueberries for similar reasons to Emma. I think that first hour is a drag.
Proper.
And as close as it comes to making up for it for what happens later on, Mel Gibson's Scottish accent also prevents it from just tipping over.
I think it's all right.
I thought it was all right. In fairness, I've
heard worse.
It's uneven is what it is. It's not that it's a bad Scottish accent. It's that he's got like four different Scottish accents throughout.
Yeah.
At one point, he does go a bit Irish, and I can't remember when it is. I think it might be when Stephen turns up, and it's like he's picking up the Irish accent. It's quite funny.
Well, it's easily done, isn't it? Right, I'll go next. I think fair scores so far. And yeah, you are right. Like, I mean, there's an argument that, I mean, you're talking about peripheral characters. I mean, like Andrew Murray, who isn't in this film, not the tennis player, but Andrew Murray, who was as important as William Wallace, certainly in terms of the battles for independence, he's not in it at all. And it's like, and I'll go into kind of the historical inaccuracies, of which there are many. there's this quote, I forget where it's from, and I'm not going to look it up because, you know, we haven't got the time. We spent too much time talking about M&Ms. But there's this quote that says that if they had a little plasticine dog in this film, it would still be about as accurate as it is.
Can't be bothered.
Calling it, yeah, William Wallace and Gromit is what they referenced it as.
Oh,
hilarious. But yeah, so I do agree. I think there's probably more that they could do with the other characters.
He's gone for a second swing.
What's that?
William Wallace and Gromit, the wrong kilt.
Oh, good. Very good.
But look, I'll give you my kind of Braveheart experience. So I watched this probably like 96, 97. And I remember watching this just feeling like utter shame to be English. Because I was like, oh, fucking hell, we are the bad guys. All this talk about us winning wars and stuff. And it's like, or actually, we're scumbags. You know, and Scotland seems like a beautiful place with wonderful people. Thankfully, Trainspotting came out at about the same time. And I was like, actually, it looks like a right shit hole. And that is accurate. That is historically accurate. Trainspotting is
fact.
That is what it is. Yeah, it's just heroin and it just looks smelly. I'm joking, depression, obviously, for any Scottish people that are listening that haven't passed out already. But historically, this film's a mess. if you were going to score it based on accuracy, historical accuracy, I mean, it's a zero boob film. I'm obviously not going to score it in that way. When I watch a film, particularly when you look back for a film that came out, like, what, 25 years ago now, I'm considering how it made me feel when I watched it as a kid versus how it makes me feel when I rewatch it now. The music, the lead performance, the choreography, the cinematography. For me, this is like undoubtedly a five bloob film. Genuinely, I think it's a classic. It's a classic film, epic in scale. Again, this is 1995, this film. And the fact that it's such a cultural, the impact that it's had on the culture of Scotland and the political landscape, and the fact that they're still banging the drum for independence now, and I suspect that at some point in the next year or so, they'll probably get it.
So, John, are you saying that, say, in like 25 years' time, we're going to have sort of a Nicola Sturgeon is the new William Wallace as the face of a new Braveheart?
I think
Braveheart 2 with Nick Sturgeon.
Yeah.
The Sturgeon Wars.
Well, I'm just hoping that, you know, there's a lot of Sturgeon Wars. Is it fish involved?
That's what I'm calling it.
Well, actually.
There are fish.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for me, it's a five bloop film.
Get out of my lock.
And to be honest, like, he's Australian. He's an Australian American. And he's coming over doing a film like that. Like, fair fucking play. You know, he's pissed up half the time. So, you know, good on him.
Yeah, I mean, I can never take Mel Gibson seriously after South Park. Like, just every time he makes the same. It's funny when you watch Braveheart, actually, this time. Some of the noise, because obviously they make quite tribal war noises, to go like, blah! And South Park literally take that noise and have him running around going, blah, my nipples are so hard, blah! You
know? He loves a shot of him, like, you know that sort of mid shot when he's on a horse? So you can't see that he's on a horse, he just sort of jiggles around a bit. Yeah. Like, he loves that shot.
Just on top of Brendan Gleeson. No, just use the horse.
That's why you never see what's underneath.
Anyway, so, get off me, you worm.
All right.
But anyway, so Lucy, now is the time for you to shatter the hearts, the many brave hearts of our Scottish listeners by shitting all over the greatest film in their history. So go on then, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know what I'm finding interesting is that you're all kind of raving about it, but you've hardly seen it. It's not a film that you've rewatched a lot of times. Wonder why that is.
Mm.
What do you mean?
Where
have you picked that up from?
You know how I feel about that.
Because you were like, well, I think I last watched it 25 years ago or whatever.
No, I said the first time I watched it was like 23 years ago. It came out 25 years ago. Yeah, if you pay attention.
I am paying attention. I'm not just talking about you, John. It's not all about you.
I've seen it about 5 times because there was a big surge of watching them for 12 birthday parties.
every party had to have one.
It's the kind of movie that's quite often on telly on a Sunday afternoon, and I'd watch it if it was on. Like, maybe not the whole way through, which is probably why I've forgotten about Baby Wallace.
No, I mean, in the build-up to watching this, I had rewatched, I think you guys all know, but I'll tell the people at home, rewatched all the Lord of the Rings films, the extended edition. So I was quite in the zone of the long historical... Well, I know... Lord of the Rings is not historical,
not
but you know what I mean.
Lord of the Rings.
The long film with all the battles. And I enjoyed Braveheart. I thought it was good. I did like it. It's more that I think had I watched it at a formative age, had it been played at my 12th birthday, I probably would have similar views as all of you. But watching it as an adult, it just didn't have that same impact. But, you know, it's a really committed performance from Mel Gibson. You can tell that had he just been shipped in by another director to play William Wallace, it might not have had the same effect, but you can tell how much it meant to him, and it was a great performance. The wig did put me off, as did him always having his guns out. But I didn't even think his accent was that bad. I thought it wasn't jarring. It didn't take me out of the action. Some good stirring speeches.
Did his eyes put you off?
Yeah, a bit.
They're very blue.
They're quite
like
blue.
But everybody in that film that has blue eyes, it's been enhanced. They've upped the blues in that film. Like, it's mental.
He has just got very
anybody
blue
with
eyes.
Even the slightest shade of blue has got like dazzling eyes you've ever seen.
It's to bring out like the Scottish mountains, isn't it? That's probably what
it
is.
But I thought it was a bit cheesy at times, in a way that the rest of the film wasn't like at the beginning. But I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. I can see why it's as popular as it is. It was very stirring. So I'm kind of was in two minds of how to blueberry it. But I am going to give it 3 because it just didn't have the impact that I thought it might actually when I was going into watching it. But I did enjoy it. I think it's a good film. No, I mean, there's bits that annoyed me, like him getting off with the queen or the princess. I thought that was a bit stupid.
That's facts, so that actually happened.
Considering the motivation for his rebellion was the loss of his wife. What?
No, it didn't. I'm joking.
No,
it
didn't
really
happen.
Happen,
and apparently,
I don't think any of it happened.
No. What do you mean none of it happened? Some of it happened, right?
Did it though?
Yes.
Very little is known about William Wallace.
But this is what annoys me. Like, you sit there and go, oh, you know, but did it happen? And then, you know, Gandalf and Aragorn having a little chat, and you're like, yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
Historical fact.
Better film.
Factual. They hated one another in real life, but no, so, yeah. No, look, it's...
It's good. And, it's a strong 3, and it was on the cusp, but I did think towards the end some of it, and the beginning as well, it was a bit... near, but for the time I can imagine it really being quite like, oh my gosh, because of the battle scenes, really, considering it's Mel Gibson as well, like, he's not a massively experienced director then to organize it the way he did is it was really impressive. And anti-English sentiment, you know, fair play.
Did all right, didn't he?
He did do all right. Great country, great people, great food. Keep doing what you do in Scotland. You're all right.
I am going to open it up to any one of you to go with your favourite scene of the film, or scenes, or moments. Emma's putting her hand up, very polite of her. This isn't the classroom.
I know. I feel a bit like I'm in a lecture about Scottish history.
Fact.
So this is a favourite scene just because it really makes me laugh. So there's a point
Len, if you could get off your phone, please.
Braveheart not known for its comedy.
Well,
we will
confiscate
it if you get your phone out again. Anyway, Emma, please go.
So I think it's sort of like in the middle of the film, and Longshanks is like,
Eddie.
Boo.
Yeah, King Eddie Longshanks is chatting with his
Longshanks,
son. Right?
Yeah.
Eddie Longshanks. He's chatting with his
Some
son,
of us are longer than others.
Is wearing...
You've been talking to your
who's...
mother again.
Hey.
So Edward's wearing like the most garish get up ever, being the useless prince that he is, because he's obviously just a twat. And he's talking about how he's made his mate Philip his advisor. And Eddie's just like, nah, I'm not having this. Picks him up and throws him out the window.
That's so stupid. I thought it was really stupid.
I loved it. I just thought it was excellent.
It was well planned.
That's good. Because
good, actually. It's good.
Absolutely, he's meant to be cracked me up.
He's meant to be a feared king. He's meant to be a feared king. And then you finally see something from him where you're like, okay, this guy is ruthless.
So
like, it must be winding him up something crazy that his son is frolicking around with this Philip guy.
He's got a beautiful French queen, princess. Yes. That he refuses to go near.
Are they just trying to imply that he's gay?
Doing some frolicking with my mate. With my pretty mate.
Yeah. What is the deal with Prince
Edward? He wears makeup.
Yeah. Why are they both wearing makeup? He looks like a painted doll. Yeah, is that just to imply that he is gay? No, but...
People can wear makeup.
Of course they can.
They want.
They can do what they like. I just think both of them are pricks.
Were they pricks?
No, do you know what? I make him right. I make him right. Like, he's gone off to sort out France to expand the kingdom, and he said to his son, look, you know, just look after it, right? I'm just going to go off on holiday for a bit. For you, yeah, all you need to do is stay here and make sure that we don't get invaded or lose any of our territory. He comes back, and he's like, what are you doing with this guy? Why are you still wearing makeup? And why has York just been sacked? What is this? And then his mate's piping up going, well, yeah, look, I've read a book about war, so I think I'm an expert. Yeah? Well, you've got rouge on, so what sort of an expert are you? Throws him out the fucking window. Good. Yeah?
Excellent scene. Excellent
utter nonsense.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so yeah, correct.
I think that's a good scene as well. I like it.
Go on then, Lucy. Like, I mean, this is a free bloob for you, but if you were to say, oh, you know, it nearly pushed into a four bloob, what would you say would be the finer scenes?
You know, I don't think there are any scenes that really stick out.
What about the end one?
No.
Jesus.
Can I finish what I'm saying, Len? Jesus.
Yes.
Get you hung and drawn and quartered. No, I mean, obviously the freedom, you know, they'll never take our freedom scene is very stirring. But the bit, I did like the bit where they've met in battle with Longshanks. And he's got the Irish and the Welsh to gang up against the Scottish. And then you see he's like, send the Irish, you know, the dead don't cost money or something, he says. And they run against the Scots. And then they're like, oh, you're doing, you're late. And they were just mates because as if the Irish are going to fight. It was all just a trick. And I like that scene. I thought that was a good scene.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good one, Luce, actually. That would have been one of my others. Like,
quite funny. Just like,
I think that's a bit of a silly scene. And do you know what else?
Yes, this scene, the whole film is quite silly.
What it typifies or like exemplifies is how silly a lot of people in this film look when they're running.
Yes,
in a group.
Yes, they do.
They all run weirdly.
I could not get over laughing at Mel Gibson running around in a kilt because he just looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, on the running, there are a couple of times that I just watch Brendan Gleeson run. I was fairly impressed with how quick he moves for a big guy.
So, I wasn't paying attention to Mel Gibson either, but I don't think any of the main actors are the problem. It's the extras. I think they didn't invest in the best extras.
Yeah.
Like, all right, can you just in a group do a little run that way? And then they sort of do this weird little like trot.
Yeah, it's not very committed.
Do you want to just like run?
If you want to see the evolution of Mel Gibson running, you can watch an exact copycat of this film, which he's in a few years later, called The Patriot, which is hilarious. His running in that, I have to say, is top notch. He is storming through that battlefield.
See, if you haven't seen The Patriot, watch it. It's a good laugh.
John, you're a lover of good extras. So there's a bit where before he turns up and does his freedom speech, where there's two lads who are like, I'm not dying for this.
Yeah, those two extras.
No, one of them's in Westworld, for fuck's sakes. But yeah,
Peter Mullen is his actual
name. Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is like they don't have an actual role apart from a bit of dissent, and they are shit.
Yeah, I mean,
no, they're all right.
Right, I mean, two times now that freedom speech has been referenced in like the least passionate way, like
the
ever.
Old freedom speech.
It's one of the greatest movie speeches of
you know
all
that
time.
Bit when he has a chat with them. That bit when he's just he chats.
Yeah,
with
he's just saying like
freedom on a field.
Just saying,
incident.
Oh, you know, yeah. Come on, let's do them. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? And this is to Lucy and to the group, but Lucy, just because you've watched it recently, tell me which speech is better: Theoden's on the Battle of the Pelennor Fields, or of
Aaron?
It's obviously
Aaron
Theoden's
asked
is
me
better
this
than
well.
Even this Mel Gibson
Aaron
speech.
Did ask
no
me
way.
What I prefer. You know no what way. I like about the Lord
what?
Of the Rings
no
speeches?
No way.
Even Aragorn at the gates.
They don't really make much sense. Like, what are you actually saying? Like a red day, an hour of walls. Like what? Do you actually mean by this? But I prefer Lord of the Rings, so I'm going to say Theoden. Much more is at stake, okay? It's the fate of the world, not just Scotland versus England.
I think I was surprised at how much sense Wallace's speech made to me when I watched it this time. I was like, it's pretty passionate. It's pretty passionate, but it's also very logical. It's very logical. Yeah. He like lays out exactly why they shouldn't go away. They're like, just think. He's like, think about it. A couple of years, yeah. You'll be sitting there going, "Oh, bloody hell! Wish I'd done something today." Well, now's your opportunity because it is today. It's like, yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
And Theoden was there as well. He was like a little dweeb in the back, going, "Yeah, actually, yeah, I'm going to use some of this in
look at me,
speech
look at me
later."
Wrong.
Yeah, and Gaz, you were there as well, weren't you? He inspired you, but before you were like the English, they're too many. And then yeah, and then Len's standing there going, "Hey, we'll run and we will live." Yeah, and then I'm like, "Come on, lads, fucking hell, just hear him out."
Yeah.
So
that was us. That was us.
And then we all died. But
I mean, there's what I noticed actually, just while we're talking about extras briefly, is there are definitely some extras that are there in the Scottish ranks. Going, and then there are also English soldiers that get killed. Like, there's one guy because he looks like one of mine and Len's mates. Dids, Len,
Lachlan
just for your reference.
Lachlan McCauley or whatever.
Which one kid, one guy looks like Dids, and I was like, "Hey, there's Dids." And then I saw him wearing an English shirt, English football top.
English.
Yeah. World Cup 66.
Imagine that. Imagine one of the extras in a Scotland 1995 t-shirt. Or football shirt. T-shirt. That'd be hilarious. Yeah, let's do them. No, come on. We've said, just wear the stuff that we've given you. The crappy little muddy stuff. Yeah. All right, any other kind of key scenes that stick out?
I'm a big fan in movies when the main character gets revenge, you know, and often in a film, you have to wait a long time for that to happen. Like,
and you do in this, and then finally, the king in the end, he gets his revenge.
Finally, gets to kill the guy that took his son. Like, you wait an entire movie for that to build up. In Braveheart, the revenge happens immediately. Like, William Wallace comes in. And when he comes riding in on his horse and he's got his hands up on his horse and he's got his nunchucks and he just in slow motion smashes that guy in the head and then all chaos ensues and you get a revenge moment straight away. It's very satisfying.
Yeah, get revenge and that's it. And that's the end
good.
Of the film.
good revenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good seeing, guys. Good seeing.
Yeah, and then he gets his revenge. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I've got one for you. So the bit where just after that, where they all start chanting McCallish, and I mean you're sitting there going, "What the fuck are they saying?" I'm so confused here. But it's basically son of Wallace, so Mac Allish, Allish being Wallace, Mac being son of. And obviously, I would know that because, you know, I'm a McCann. So, you know, Mac Canner, son of Canner, son of Wolf Cub is our clan from Northern Ireland. So there you go. Cool. But I love that scene because it's so like, it's one of the little bits of the film where they're kind of trying to pull a little bit of history into it. And I thought it worked really well. And again, Hamish's dad, who is massively underrated in this film, he's great.
Mm. He's great.
And it's sad when he dies. Yeah, you know, that kills me a bit.
I actually thought there would be more Game of Thrones actors in this, but Commander Mormont, James Cromwell is the only one that I could spot. Anyone got any more?
No, I don't think there are.
No.
I was a bit surprised.
I like seeing Tommy Flanagan, though. Like, Tommy Flanagan's great.
So is there anything else that anyone wants to mention before we crack on with it?
Good music.
This is obviously not part of the podcast, obviously.
Len loves the torture scene music. At the end.
And I love the torture scene at the end. Lots of gore. No, I actually did well up a bit, which I thought was interesting. I didn't, as I said, I was hungover. I'm a bit delicate today. So the end scene where he doesn't give in and he just shouts freedom, you know, a little tear came down my face. Which
why is it when you're hungover, why is it that you do become emotive fairly easily?
Yeah.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
You just don't have the resources to not cry, I think.
I mean, I remember being at Glastonbury on a Sunday, so we've had 3 or 4 days of drinking, and Kylie Minogue was on stage, and I just started crying.
She's not that bad.
And for me...
I think everybody's hurt.
I loved it. I don't know, man. That's one of the moments where I just looked at myself and going, what's going on?
Len, mate,
what's
are you all right?
Anyway. Yeah, no, that was years ago. Don't worry, it's all good now.
I'm spinning now around, move out of my way. And you're just standing there crying.
Tears.
Why can't you find love?
Do the locomotion with me. Who's that guy crying over there? Anyway, we should probably crack on with the quiz. Good. Let's get this nonsense over with. Okay, so Lucy, as you know, before we can give you the badge of approval, you do need to come through this quiz. There's 6 questions of varying difficulty. If you are struggling, I'll make it a little bit easier.
No, don't,
but I will have to just make up the questions off the top of my head.
Don't pity me, yeah.
Mm, all right, fair enough.
What country does this take place in?
Question.
Ireland.
Ireland.
And Scotland.
England and Scotland, yeah? Yeah. Half England, half Scotland.
Yeah. He is half English, half Scottish.
Yeah? Half Scottish.
Look at the ears. right, so... Anyway, so Len, if I could have some Braveheart themed music.
Ah, I've got the perfect thing that I found earlier. Queuing it up right now.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, so Lucy, question 1. Brian Cox turns up at the beginning of the film as William's uncle. But what is William's uncle's name?
Argyle Wallace.
Can you do it with the accent that he uses, please? Otherwise I can't accept it.
Argyle Wallace.
And he doesn't say Wallace. He don't go. It doesn't say surname. Okay. Just say his first name in a
Argyle.
Scottish accent. Otherwise, you failed.
Argyle. I've said it about 4 times now.
All right, we'll accept it. It is Argyle.
I can't roll my R's.
It's actually
so
a correct answer, but not Portuguese. Yeah.
I can't either.
Question 2. Edward Longshanks invokes a law allowing his lord's first right of any new brides. But what is this called? I'm obviously looking for the Latin.
Prima nocta.
Correct. It is prima nocta. You are 2 of 2. Now I go to my well.
That's impressive.
I did watch the film.
Yeah, go to the difficult ones. Make it interesting, John.
Yeah, this one should be. Yeah.
Okay, so question 3. Name 2 of the 3 noblemen that tried to negotiate terms with the English pre-Battle of Stirling.
Right. De Mornay and Lachlan.
No. Lachlan is one.
Bruce. Robert the Bruce.
No.
No, then.
You were very close. You were very close. Okay. But I think you, I think you Frenched up one of them by saying De Mornay.
Yes, as it's said.
Whereas actually, his name is Mornay, not De Mornay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a 70s actress. It's not Rebecca De Mornay.
Maybe
he is. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to check that because.
Yeah. You could have also had Craig. That would have been an easy one.
Like, punted with Craig. Okay.
But that's okay. That's okay. Question four. William Wallace leads his forces to victory at the Battle of Stirling. But what year was the Battle of Stirling won?
1307.
No.
Incorrect. It is 1297.
I think it's 1314.
No.
Oh, 12. No. Is it?
Try to rush the answer as well. Like, if you knew it, okay, that's fine.
What is it?
Yeah.
So 1297 was the Battle of Stirling.
Right.
Good. Okay.
My pin number. Should have got that.
Ah, these two are too easy, to be honest.
We'll do one easy and one harder. Hard. Well. Or just both.
No, she hasn't got three yet, have you, Luce? You've only got two at the moment.
No, I know, but these next two questions she will definitely get.
You don't know that. I'm quite stupid. I had a baby playing a xylophone next to me for a lot of it, so there is a chance that I wouldn't know.
I'll change up the last one. You were definitely going to get one of these right. So anyway, question five. Wallace is convicted of high treason and he is hung, drawn and quartered.
Correct. Yep. Is that the question?
What happens to his head?
Oh, it is put on a spike on London Bridge.
Correct. You have officially passed. That's annoying.
I did watch it. Again, I say.
Should have put more Latin questions in there.
Yeah.
Now, that's good. Well done.
What was the last
question? I'll ask you the last question anyway. Wallace has two loyal friends throughout his later battles. One called Hamish and then one over-the-top Irishman. What was the Irishman's name?
I knew it anyway, but it has been mentioned a few times in the pod. It's Stephen.
Stephen, the Irishman.
Stephen.
Fact.
Stephen.
So that's it. You've done it. You have passed our Scottish-themed Braveheart quiz. Well done. You receive nothing. Just means you don't have to watch it again.
Wow.
So that's good.
Yay.
All right. Well, look, that brings us to a close. And Gaz has disappeared anyway.
Lost him in battle.
But thanks very much, Lucy.
You're welcome.
Yes.
John.
Yeah, and thanks for the score.
Did she pass?
Yeah.
She passed.
Yeah, she did. 4 out of 6, Meg.
Well done. Well done, Pansy.
All right, so that brings this one to an end. But we, of course, do have a very deep wardrobe of shame, and there are more films to come. Mm. And so,
I also realise that I have never watched Good Will Hunting.
Fucking hell! Really?
That's fucking bad. That's bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
Good Will Hunting. So that's Jesus.
Another live reaction.
I think we might have to do that.
Yes, I think we're going to have to do that.
It's not your fault.
1,000,000% do that.
You don't know what that means, but it's...
This is very much her fault.
This is my own fault, yeah. Totally.
How do you like them oranges?
Question one.
Best quotes.
No.
How do you like them blank? Anyway, so... Well, that's good. That'd be a good one.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
five bloobs all around.
Nice, I like that.
Anyway, all right, so thanks very much, Emma. That'll be our next episode, and we can look forward to that. And another good film to watch. But other than that, look, I'd like to thank you all individually. So, Len, thanks very much, mate.
Cheers, boss.
Gaz, you disappeared, but you'd eat. You see you later, you worm. Emma.
Nice one, mate.
Thank you, John, for hosting so wonderfully.
Thanks very much. And Lucy.
Thank you.
Well done. Yes. And thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you, John.
Cool. All right. Well, look, hopefully you've enjoyed listening. If you haven't, who cares, to be honest? But we'll be back soon.
Oh.
Yeah. Other than that,
please do subscribe. Subscribe and
oh, there you go, Len begging for subscriptions. Please subscribe, preferably to Fan Critical.
I will.
Please.
You know, imagine that I've just been hung, I've been drawn, and I'm on my knees, and he says, "Look, if you just beg for subscriptions, I'll give you mercy." And that is what I'm doing. This.
Yeah,
is.
And then he screams freedom, subscribe. And it ruins it.
Yeah, that's not what I've asked you to do.
Go on, Pete. Go on Patreon as well, patreon.com/fancritical. Check us out. That's all.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much. Nice little begging there.
Yeah.
Mercy, yeah. Mercy. But other than that, peace out. See you later.
Peace out, guys.
Bye.
I
could crush you. Like a worm.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.